Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
32 leagues, 350 teams, 7 nights a week. There is nothing quite like college basketball. And no one covers it any better than he does. He's our college basketball insider, Gary Parrish of CBS Sports, only on the program.
Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are on the road. We are at the Sprint store right here in Town Center, as you can come on by and take advantage of a great selection of phones, great plans as well, just like me and my family do. Sprint here at Town Center. And, of course, we had Matt Beisler signing autographs earlier today. And always great to see Matt, the team captain for Sporting Kansas City. Let's talk some college basketball. The season got tipped off the other night. Kansas not getting it done, not holding on to the basketball either. You'd think it might have been the first time they'd ever dealt with something that was round. Let's talk about it with CBS's college basketball, our college basketball insider from CBS Sports. You can see him on the CBS TV. Read him at CBS.com. He is Gary Parrish. Gary, how are you, sir?
I'm great, man. It's good to be talking to you again. The season's underway, thank God, because I was getting tired of predicting things.
Lists and predictions. That is the off season, right?
Yeah, and you know what? It's so wild because we talk about it literally for months and write about it for months, and we reach these pretty definitive opinions, like Michigan State should be the preseason number one, and Cassius Winston should be the preseason national player of the year. And now we're 2 days into the season, and I think you could reasonably, if not accurately, change all of that. Like, maybe Cole Anthony needs to be the national player of the year favorite right now. Maybe James Wiseman needs to be the national player of the year favorite right now. Maybe Tyrese Maxey needs to be the national player of the year favorite right now. And you could make an argument that Kentucky should be number one. Duke should be number one. Louisville should be number one. Florida should be number one. So it's the fun thing about this sport is that no matter what you think the storylines are going to be heading into the season, sometimes those are storylines, but often other things emerge. And really, I should have known better if by doing nothing other than looking back at last year. Heading into the season, nobody thought Zion Williamson was going to be the national player of the year or the number one pick in the draft or even the best player on his team. And yet, after just a couple of weeks, it was quite clear he was all of those things, and now here we are again.
Yeah, and now here we sit. And this year, and we'll get to KU here in a minute, this year is marked by the fact that there is no Zion, really, to have that conversation. I know in your neck of the woods, I'm sure Weissman is getting that kind of conversation at Memphis, but we're not feeling that same kind of phenomenon here. Maybe it's just because he's a bigger guy, and when he dunks, there's not as much space between his feet and the floor, or he's not as defensive end looking, and maybe he'll end up being a better pro when it's all said and done than Zion Williamson. But is that true?
Beyond all that, his first game and only game to date was against South Carolina State on ESPN3. You know, that's much different than playing for Zion last season, Kentucky on ESPN, you know, in Indianapolis, and putting on the type of show that they put on. And then almost, you know, immediately after that, going to Maui and wowing us again. And so I would say the same thing about Cole Anthony. You know, like last night, he had a better first game than any North Carolina player in history, better than Michael Jordan, better than James Worthy, better than Tyler Hansborough, Vince Carter, anybody else you want to name. And it certainly got some buzz. People were talking about it on social media. But, you know, it was on the ACC network. It wasn't on CBS or ESPN or one of the big things that's hard to miss. And so I do think we'll get to a place where there are players, or at least a player, that becomes appointment television, if you will. But you're exactly right. I don't think anybody will match Zion. He wasn't just an awesome basketball player. He was an awesome basketball player unlike anything we'd ever seen on the biggest stage in the sport, the one that Duke provides, and you know, with a player efficiency rating that was literally off of the charts, unlike anything we'd ever seen. I don't think that's in college basketball, but Wiseman was undeniably great in his opener, and Cole Anthony undeniably great in his opener.
And I agree, and listen, I like me some Wiseman because I got him in my minor leagues. I've had him there for 2 years in my fantasy basketball league, so I've been excited to watch him play in a real game. How good is he? Is he definitively the number one player? And at the end of the year, he's definitively going to be the number one pick. Let's start there. Then we'll compare him, you know, to what he might be, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I don't know that he's definitively the number one pick because there are other, you know, reasonable options. Cole Anthony being one, Anthony Edwards at Georgia being another. Even LaMelo Ball, who is obviously playing professionally outside of our country right now, but by all accounts, really showing himself to be an incredible playmaker with great vision and great creativity. Some people are comparing him to Luka Doncic. And so when you combine that, the fact that there are other reasonable options with the fact that Wiseman plays the least valuable position in the NBA now. You know, he is a five and only a five. Now, he's a unique five in the sense that he's an incredible athlete, a great runner, somebody who can step away from the basket and make a shot, but he is still a center and only a center. And so I don't think he's definitively the number one pick in the draft. He might be, probably is the favorite, but not obviously in everybody's eyes. The question, how good is he? I'll tell you, I've seen him a lot, obviously. He went to high school in the city in which I live. He played college basketball in the city in which I live. I was surprised at how awesome he looked against South Carolina State. And I know it was just South Carolina State, a middle-of-the-pack MEAC school, the MEAC being literally the worst Division I basketball conference in the country. But still, 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 blocks in 22 minutes. I made this argument yesterday on radio. You can take into account the competition, but also acknowledge this. Who else could have gone out and got 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 blocks in 22 minutes against South Carolina State? I don't know anybody could. And the thing I had said about him leading into his first game and really this season was, I don't know about points and rebounds because he wasn't on the grassroots circuit always the most aggressive big that I had ever seen, but he did look to have a different mindset in the season opener from Memphis, and he's obviously bigger and obviously stronger. What I said going into the season is you want him to look different than everybody else because typically number one picks in the draft, they just look different than everybody else, and to anybody's eyeballs the other night, he looked different than everybody else, not just the South Carolina players. He looked different than everybody on his own team, and he's got future NBA players, including another projected future lottery pick on his own team, and he didn't even look like the same species. So he was great, and people are fired up to watch him again tomorrow night.
Tell me about the mindset. You mentioned, you know, and that's one of the things I've kind of read about him. Like I said, I'm a nerd, and so I've been kind of following him since he was like a sophomore in high school. And, you know, it's like, you know, engagement, you know, killer attitude. I remember when Andrew Wiggins was coming to Kansas, and we were talking a lot about how this is Bill Self kind of getting up there with Kentucky, and he's getting the number one overall guy, and how, you know, that's a new level for Kansas recruiting. And, you know, when we brought on Coach Self, he said, oh, he's an alpha dog. And we're like, okay, alpha dog was what Zion Williamson was. Andrew Wiggins was tremendously talented. He was actually anything but an alpha dog. And I'm wondering, had Wiggins shown alpha dogness, which he certainly doesn't show in the NBA, and then it kind of went away when he got to the college level? And are there other guys that maybe Wiseman just hasn't been challenged, hasn't been engaged, or now recognizes, all right, this is my last lap, and he's sprinting to validate that he's the number one guy, and we're going to see an alpha dog at a 7-foot athletic body?
Yeah, I would. On Andrew Wiggins first, I was a big believer in him. I mean, we named him the CBS Preseason National Player of the Year before he ever played a game. And I remember, and I've probably told you this story before. If so, I apologize. But I was in Lawrence, Kansas, you know, in that preseason working on a story on Andrew Wiggins, who was, again, going to be the Preseason National Player of the Year for CBS Sports. And I can remember it vividly. I'm sitting in the practice gym. Joel Embiid is doing some individual work with a manager or somebody, and I'm sitting there with Bill Self and Curtis Townsend and the rest of the staff. And Bill said, so you guys are going to make Wiggs the National Player of the Year preseason. I said, yeah. And he said, that one's going to be the best I've ever coached. And I said, who, Wiggins? And he said, no. That one. And he pointed at Joel Embiid. He said, that's the best player. That's the one who's going to be. Nobody knows it. He said, that's going to be the best player I've ever coached. And we look up all these years later, and Embiid is undeniably a better talent and a better player than Andrew Wiggins. So I don't know if something happened to him or if he just lost it. Maybe he never had it. But, I guess we shouldn't crap on Wiggins too bad. I mean, he was the number one pick in the draft, after all, and he is making an incredible amount of money in the NBA. But clearly he hasn't become what you would want the number one pick in the draft to become. As for James Wiseman, I tell you, when I saw him in high school in the grassroots level, he had his moments where he looked exactly like what you've heard, but it wasn't consistent. Like when you saw DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley or Greg Oden way back when on the AAU circuit, they just dominated people every time out. And I didn't see that from Wiseman. But watching him the other night, he was consistently aggressive. And by that I mean you're a 7'1" athlete who is stronger, bigger, more athletic than basically everybody you're going to play at this level. You can go get anything and dunk it, so go get everything and dunk it. And he did that the other night. Again, it was just against South Carolina State, but he did it more consistently and more aggressively against a Division I basketball team, a bad one, but still a Division I basketball team, than I ever saw him do on the grassroots circuit or in high school. He had 11 field goals. He was 11 of 14 from the field. 11 field goals, 5 of them were dunks. Now, that's obviously not going to be what he does every night. He was being guarded, in fairness, by a 6'7", low-major player. But the mindset seemed to be there, and if he comes with that mindset consistently, then he's going to be a real problem for other college basketball players.
And we're talking to Gary Parrish here in the program, talking a little college hoops. Duke 68-66 over the Jayhawks, 28 turnovers, consistent theme there with the broadcast crew, Jay Billis, talking about it, and it was absolutely the story of the night. But Duke didn't shoot real well either. So they kind of did their part. I had somebody from Kansas send me a text. This game set basketball back 3 years, right? And I texted back, by the way, this morning, well, Syracuse, Virginia last night set basketball back to when there were laces on the ball. So trust me, that was ugly basketball. But what did you think? Like who was this just, boy, Kansas was terrible and still almost beat Duke? Was it, oh, man, Duke can really shoot and we didn't see that? What did you take away from this game?
It was bad. I was bored. I was sitting there watching it in person in Madison Square Garden and bored out of my mind and surprised. If only because, first off, you don't expect any team to turn the ball over 28 times in a 40-minute game, right? That's not normal. It's especially not normal when you've got a sophomore All-American point guard. Like it's not supposed to happen when you're experienced in the backcourt the way Kansas is experienced in the backcourt and the way Kansas is supposed to be, predicted to win the Big 12 and a preseason top three team. I do not think it's indicative of what's to come. If I were a Kansas fan, I would not panic. In fact, I could even trick myself, and maybe you don't even have to trick yourself, I could trick myself into being encouraged. And here's why. You're on a neutral court, first game of the season, turned over 28 times, and you're still in a one-possession game with a top-five team with maybe 4 future first-round picks in the final minute. Like, you turned it over 28 times and still could have reasonably beat Duke. You were turning it over at an alarming rate from start to finish and still had a 9-point lead with less than 15 minutes to play. And so you can take that and twist it into whatever you want, but I think more than anything, if I were bottom lining, it was a bad night for what will be a very good team.
Okay. What do you think of Duke?
They're different than they've been in recent years. I mean, they don't have the star power that they had last season. Zion's not on this team. Nobody like him is. RJ's not on this team. Nobody like him is. But, again, they're still talented. I think some people looked at Duke and went, well, who's the top five pick on that team? Well, they probably don't have one. But they might have 4 top 30 picks. And if they do, that'll be more than anybody else in the country. And so when you've got a sophomore point guard who is so good at just controlling the game and pressuring the ball on the defensive end of the court, and that's a great place to start. In fact, maybe the best place to start. And then you've got again, perhaps three other first-round picks surrounding him, you might not have a top-five pick, but you've got enough talent to be great, particularly in this year where there doesn't appear to be this stat with NBA prospects team that is just going to physically overwhelm everybody else. Again, the preseason number one was Michigan State, and Michigan State probably doesn't have a first-round pick on its team. So I wrote a column the other night saying, like, listen, this team is more balanced than Duke teams in recent years because they had developed a pattern either by design or by circumstances where in recent years, more often than not, two guys were going out and getting everything, and everybody else was just a role player. Even if you were a top 10 pick like Cam Reddish, you were just a role player. Zion and RJ were going to do all the heavy lifting. A couple years before that, it was Brandon Ingram and Grayson Allen getting everything. And then everybody else was a role player in some form. This Duke team, I don't think, has got anybody that can go out and consistently get 20. I think that, you know, the other night, Trey Jones scored 15. Three other players scored at least 11. Four other players scored at least 9. And when you talk to, like I did in the locker room, Trey Jones, Cassius Stanley, Matthew Hurt, all of them said that's who we're going to be. Like, nobody's going to go out and get 30. Unless, like, Matthew Hurt gets hot from three and knocks down 7 3-pointers, right? That might happen. That could happen. But short of something like that, they're going to be a pretty balanced team that, yes, I believe is good enough to win the national championship, what would be Mike Krzyzewski's 6th of his career. And when I wrote that and said that, there was some pushback from other fans, even some Duke fans, tell you the truth. But there's nothing outrageous about saying a team that might have more first-round picks than anybody else, that is currently ranked 4th at KenPom, that is coached by the greatest to ever do it, and who has maybe the most rock-solid point guard in the country. Not best, but rock-solid. There's nothing crazy about saying that team could. I emphasize the word could win a national championship.
What did you think of Kentucky? The freshmen come through with 30, except for it's 26 for one, 4 for another, and 0 for 3 of them. Right. So this isn't your typical Kentucky team, although I think the kids who scored 0 will do better as time moves on, or 4, the other 4 that scored 4 points collectively will do better as time moves on, and Maxey won't be quite as good. But this is a pretty deep team. They figure to be number one next year. Are they the best team at least right now?
I don't know that they're the best team right now, but you're right. They will be number one in when the AP poll updates on Monday. They are number one in my CBS Sports top 25 and 1. I had them 3rd in the preseason. They went out and knocked out the number one team. I jumped them over Duke, which I had 2, and I just based it off of this. You know, Duke won a 2-point game against a team that turned it over 28 times. That you know, if you played it again tonight, would Duke win that game again? I'm not sure. But Kentucky controlled the top-ranked team in the country basically from tip to the buzzer. Michigan State made some runs on them, and Kentucky never really flinched. And I was surprised. And you know who else was surprised? The Kentucky staff. Because when I guess I can say this now, when I was talking to them, you know, in advance of that game, they knew they'd have a shot because they weren't going to be physically overwhelmed. Michigan State doesn't have as many future NBA players as Kentucky actually has. But they didn't know if they were ready to win a game like that because Nick Richards was banged up. And the Tyrese Maxey you saw the other night is not the Tyrese Maxey they had been seeing in practices or exhibitions. Played 2 exhibitions. He scored 14 in one, which is fine. Scored 7 in the other. And had been, I was told, bad in practices. In fact, John Calipari said after the game, the Tyrese Maxey that we watched tonight, the one that went out and got 26 points that made big shots in the final minute, that is the player I recruited. That's who I thought I was getting. I have not seen him since he stepped on our campus. Tonight's the first time, John said, I've seen that guy since he set foot on our campus. And then he backed up a little bit and said, now, that might be because he's got to go up against Ashton Hagans every day in practice, and maybe Ashton can just make anybody look like that. And now Tyrese Maxey, you know, benefits from it. But we wondered, heading into the Champions Classic, if, you know, there was a top 10 pick in the building. And coming out of it, I think if you were to get draft analysts to update their mock drafts right now, Tyrese Maxey would probably be a top 10 pick. He looked like a dynamic scorer, and he's not going to average 26 a game, but But if he can be the go-to guy, the bucket getter, somebody like Jamal Murray was for Kentucky a few years ago, well then, yes, that team, just like Duke, and frankly, just like Kansas, has a chance to win the national championship.
All right, Michigan State and Kansas are going to go to Maui. Who's the better team there?
Woo! I guess I'll lean toward Michigan State, if only because they did not look as bad as Kansas looked on opening night. And, you know, if they would have made, a couple of more three-pointers here, because they were really bad from beyond the arc, I think they missed 21 of 26. I think they were 5 of 26. If they're 7 of 26, 8 of 26, which still is not good, they're in the game in the final seconds, and they were in the game in the final minutes anyway. So forced to pick one, I guess I'd pick the Spartans, but I don't feel strongly about that. I think even despite what we saw the other night, there's not a clear-cut best team in the country. There's a group of teams that are built to win a national championship if the tournament started tomorrow, and that group does include Michigan State and Kansas, probably also Duke, probably also Kentucky, maybe Florida, maybe Louisville.
Last question. I don't think anybody would argue with you that Kansas belongs in that top group, but do they have enough shooting to win six games in a row in the NCAA tournament?
That's the thing. You know, if you look back at the past two national champions, they both, could shoot. They both could, if they needed to, go out and knock down shots. Villanova could do it from, like, four different positions. They were unbelievable. You know, one of the great college basketball teams in modern history. And you know, obviously last year Virginia had shooters all over the court. And so, you know, you also look at the team that was the number one overall seed in last season's NCAA tournament. That's Duke. What was their Achilles ultimately? Not getting Zion the ball, enough touches was the most obvious one, but they couldn't shoot the ball consistently. And so we will see. But I will say, of the teams that I mentioned as legitimate national title contenders, the ones I just named, I don't know which one of those is a great shooting team. I'm not sure any of them are great shooting teams. And it is one of the curious things about this sport, particularly for programs like Duke and Kentucky that almost pick their rosters rather than recruit their rosters in some form. That might be overstating it a little, but they, as Cal said a few weeks ago, Kentucky eats first. I don't know how you end up with rosters, given the way basketball is played in the year 2019, without shooters. If I were coaching, a program like that, and please forgive me for questioning the recruiting strategy of two of the greatest recruiters of all time, but I think I would prioritize at least one shooter, even if he wasn't a top 50 player. At least one. I would recruit somebody. I would get the best shooter I can get who I genuinely believe can get on the court for me. I'd have one of them in every class. And too often those programs don't do it, and they don't have the shooters required to open things up for the athletes that they had. Imagine Zion Williamson last year if he was surrounded by multiple shooters. He was unbelievable with the defense collapsing and playing, in some cases, 5-on-4 because nobody would guard Trey Jones. Imagine if he had a shooter or two on the court with him at all times. And so you look around the country, I don't know that Kansas has got enough good shooting. I don't know if Duke's got enough good shooting. But somebody's got to win the national championship, and the teams at the top of the rankings right now might all have a similar issue.
Gary Parrish is with us on our Sprint Guest Line. Time for our Kansas Lottery Final Four. Loyalty players have a chance to win one of two promotional giveaways to watch the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium this season, both in second chance drawings. Visit kslottery.com for more details. Gary, I'll start you with this. We're at the Sprint store. You go iPhone or Android?
iPhone for life. I don't understand. Unless you need me to say, go get an Android, I don't understand why anybody would have an iPhone. Wouldn't have an iPhone.
Okay, no, we don't. They've got both for whatever people's preferences are.
Okay, good.
All right, when it's all said and done, who will be a better pro, Zion or Weissman?
Zion, if he's healthy, and that's a big question mark right now. He's got to get weight off of his body. I don't care what the people in New Orleans say publicly. He clearly can't. He's had to be removed from basketball three different times this year because of knee issues, and I think you'd be a fool to believe that it doesn't have something to do with the fact that he's carrying around 285 pounds on a 6'6" frame.
Yeah, I'm with you. Final four will be who?
You know what? I'll just go with the four teams I have at the top of the top 25 and one right now. So let's go Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State, and Louisville. But if you told me it was Maryland instead, Kansas instead, Florida instead, even Memphis, if the talent comes together, none of that would surprise me. Again, we're in a unique situation where the teams that look like the best teams don't necessarily have the best talent. And so, you know, even at Washington, you know, they got two projected lottery picks and a guard who used to start at Kentucky. Like, they're off of everybody's radar right now. But if we looked up in February and Washington's the top 10 team, that wouldn't be crazy to me.
No, it's because the Syracuse guy's running the show there. That's why.
There you go.
And finally, the national champ will be who?
I guess I'll go back to Michigan just because, you know, I don't want to be somebody who changes after 2 days of the season. But I will say I've always had reservations about that, and here's why. And I mentioned it earlier. They probably don't have a first-round draft pick on their roster. And I need to go look this up because I keep making this point, and I need to be able to make it with specific detail. When's the last time somebody won a national championship without a first-round pick on its roster? It's very rare, I know for a fact. It might be non-existent in modern history. So if Michigan State is going to actually do it, they're going to have to do it with an unconventional roster as it relates to trying to cut net after the final game of the season. But for now, I'll stick with them as my pick.
Gary Parrish, you are the man. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, buddy. I'll see you soon. Bye.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Who was the first Chiefs quarterback to win a game at Tennessee? That would be our friend and colleague Trent Green back in 2004 on a Monday night, 49-37.
What? Now, what was the question again?
First Chiefs quarterback to win a game at Tennessee.
Oh, really? Okay. I like that. That one's strong. I like that.
They've only won two games.
For Good Sense?
Yeah, Good Sense.
Good Sense. You can order it right now. Take it on home. Just go to GoodSenseSubs.com. Or, better yet, you should have already downloaded the app. If you haven't, do it right now. Get signed up for that loyalty club. 10% back. Spend 10 bucks. You got a dollar to save the next time. 10% back. It's the best deal going. It's at Good Sense, where they slice the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you. Make the bread fresh twice each day. It's Good Sense Subs. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com to order right now. Or, again, if you got that app like I do, just do it on the app. You can even save in all your favorites. Makes it super easy, super efficient at your neighborhood. Good Sense. Our thanks to Gary Parrish joining us in our last segment. I am live at the Sprint Store at 4901 Town Center Drive in Leawood, Kansas. That's just a little bit to the north of 119th, just a little bit to the west of Roe. Matt Beasler was here. Still a little bit of time till 6 o'clock to get signed up for the 30th Annual Thanksgiving Day 5K Run and Family Stroll. You can sign up for free right now till 6 o'clock. So get in here. If you want to run, I've seen a lot of runners come in, seen some folks wearing their past T-shirts and everything. It is a very, very popular run. You can do it for free. It's coming up on Thanksgiving. Matt Beasler and his wife on the board there for that great run. Matt was here earlier, so hopefully you had a chance to say hi to Matt if you were in here. Also signing people up to win Chiefs Raiders tickets along with a parking pass, lower level tickets for that December 1 game. You don't have to be present to win. And they're also going to be giving away a pair of tickets to both the 25th and 26th of November games, the Hall of Fame Classic at the Sprint Center. You can get signed up for that. We've given away all our Pig and Swig tickets. We've got a few more Mavericks tickets. If you'd like to go see the Mavericks, stop on by and say hello as we are here. And great talking college basketball with Gary Parrish, the best in the business when it comes to breaking down the college basketball. And he seemingly has a story for every player, every coach, and every subject that ever comes up.
Unbelievable. The recall to know, and not just a story of that's kind of about it, like one that deals directly with whatever it is you're talking about. His power of recall is remarkable to listen to.
It's It's fantastic. He is awesome. Great talking college basketball with Gary Parrish. If you missed it, 810 app or 810WHB.com. Check out the podcast page when we get done with this 5 o'clock hour. I want to give you a chance to hear something that was said by Mitchell Trubisky and then some reaction from ESPN. And I bring this up. Remember, Mitchell Trubisky went one in there. Or what, number three? Was it three or two?
Three, I think.
They went from three to two.
Was
he
it
went number two, right?
Okay.
I think he went two. They moved up.
Yeah,
the Bears
right.
traded with the 49ers yeah. to go from three to two and take Mitchell Trubisky, the top quarterback in that draft. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes went 10. So Trubisky and Mahomes and Watson are forever going to be linked in the same quarterback class. Maybe some people thought after last year's step forward for Trubisky that that trio would be remembered the way it looks like Eli Manning Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger are going to be remembered. I put them in the order that they were drafted, 1, 4, and I think 9 or 10 for Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
those guys are all 10 or 11, okay. Those three are all going to be Hall of Famers, and we saw great progress out of Trubisky last year, but he has backpedaled big time. The Bears had backpedaled. I had the under. Did you? We talked about the Bears being those surprise teams. Oftentimes take a step back to take two steps forward in the future. And you can even say that was kind of true of Andy Reid and the Chiefs, where he won 11 and then he backed up to 9 wins. That 9 wins was still the over, by the way, on that bet. But the Bears really having their struggles, a lot of people critical of them. They're a big market team, so they get a lot of run on ESPN. And this is Trubisky on the mic at the podium in Chicago talking about what he has to be done at the facility.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of, people, or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in.
All right, so that's a statement. I had him trying to turn off some of the TVs, because he talked about we. He didn't say I, he said we. This is the reaction from Damian Woody on ESPN's morning show, Get Up.
Literally, my head exploded.
What?
My head exploded. Like, this is what you want from your quarterback?
Literally?
They're talking bad about me. Let me turn my TV off. You're the quarterback. You're playing bad football. Okay? Like, if you can't handle some criticism.
I hope he's not watching Get Up right
then
now.
Then you don't need to be the quarterback. I mean, like, how can we dispute this? Oh, people on Get Up or whatever television show it is, oh, they're talking bad about me, which you are playing bad. And your feelings get hurt? I don't want to play with a guy like that, that's Ooh. Soft like that, please.
That's Damian Woody reacting. Now, first of all, this is a former player. Okay, so we, the media, get bombed all the time. This is a former player. He's a media member now, but he's a former player. Trubisky talked about we, and Damian Woody talked about him as saying I. First of all, Trubisky did not say I. He said we. We don't need to hear that, not I don't need to hear it. Now, is Trubisky sensitive? Is he getting ripped more than any other Bear, or maybe the only Bear that's individually being singled out? Yes, he is. Does he mean I? Well, certainly I is part of we, but I think it's a couple of things that are at work here. Number one, Patrick Mahomes would never say that, right? Patrick Mahomes has got a lot of Andy Reid in him, man. I love talking to the guy, but he does a great job of not saying much. And this is why you don't say much, because when you do say something, they're coming out after you. Damian Woody and that whole ESPN crew and our guy Adam Schefter, who comes on with us every Monday, was part of this conversation. You can go look. There's probably about a 6 or 7 minute clip you can find out there online where they debate this. And I forget who else was on the set. Mike Greenberg, of course, but then who the other analyst was that was on the set. And they talk about it, and they go round and round about it. But the reality is that they basically are blowing him up for saying, we went around and turned the TVs off. And you just don't do that. You don't ever show a sign of weakness. You just do what the coaches say. You do what, and frankly, I think, Matt Nagy has even been a little bit overly sensitive to this kind of thing. You know, Andy Reid just goes, listen, we don't listen to that stuff. We don't pay attention to it. And that's all outside. We worry about what we're doing in here. Nagy gets defensive about it. And I think he's having a hard time after being the boy wonder last year He's not bombing this test by any stretch of the imagination, but Nagy's kind of setting the tone for a Trubisky and the rest of his players by showing that he's irritated and kind of saying, okay, it's okay to lash out. If you lash out, you get bombed by media members. Media members that lots and lots of them are former players. So he's getting lit up by a former player in Damian Woody. And that's a reality of it. What he said is being taken out of context. That often does. We hear what we want to hear, or what I think Damian Woody wanted to hear, because he and a lot of his colleagues there at ESPN, and really most people, we haven't really spent much time talking about Mitchell Trubisky other than, boy, we're glad we got Patrick Mahomes instead of Mitchell Trubisky. But nationally, where they try to cater to the biggest audiences and don't drill down to the teams, they're not going to talk Titans football. They're not going to talk about the Bucks and their potential growth or what's going on. They talk about the big market teams. They talk Jets and Giants. They talk Rams, not much Chargers. They talk Cowboys. They talk Eagles. And, of course, they talk Bears. And when they talk Bears, they talk about the quarterback because it's the most important position. And they don't have kind things to say. Trubisky didn't say I. He said we, but he still gets bombed. And you got to be smarter. You got to know it's coming. One of the things the Chiefs did a great job of with Patrick Mahomes was preparing him to be this guy. And by the way, Matt Nagy was there during the apprenticeship year of Patrick Mahomes when Alex Smith and Andy Reid and presumably Matt Nagy and Mike Kafka and Eric Bieniemy and all these guys were there nurturing, counseling Patrick Mahomes and getting him ready to not only play the game, but to stand at the podium and answer the questions like he does every week. They got him ready to do it. How did Matt Nagy forget this lesson? Or was he not at all a part of that equation? Or even though that Andy Reid is maybe the best as there is at preparing assistant coaches to go on to be head coaches, is there still always an ace in Andy Reid's pocket? Or did Matt Nagy this part of it just not take? Or is he getting pressure? Pressure that he's never felt before because he's never been a head coach. Pressure that he's not used to, and he's not reacting well to because he's frustrated. He's frustrated with the quarterback. He's now getting hit because, you remember last year before the season ever started, he said, oh, Trubisky loved him. He loved Trubisky. He was on record, which is what you have to say as a head coach. Really what he should have said was, I can't wait to work with him. He's a tremendous talent. But I'm, if I'm not mistaken, guys, do you remember, did he say he was tops on his board? I'm pretty sure he said something to that effect. He basically said Trubisky was tops on his board.
I think that's right.
What he may have meant was, look, I think he's got the most skills. I think he's got the best talent. But when Patrick Mahomes is going out and putting the year up, you're going to be held to that statement. So, again, Mahomes hadn't been MVP when he said it. You didn't know what Mahomes was going to be. But he said Trubisky was tops on his board, so he's going to wear it. He becomes his quarterback. And when Mahomes blows up and is better, and Deshaun Watson, who had already played better at that point, is better, he's saying Trubisky ahead of Watson, Trubisky ahead of Mahomes. This is why Andy Reid says virtually nothing. This is why Andy Reid sits there rolling through his mind going, I think I know where you're going with that. When Sam McDowell last week asked him about what it is about the home games not being as easy to win, Andy Reid goes, oh, wait a minute. You're trying to say I'm losing at home. You're trying to get at the fact that why can't we win at home anymore? I know where you're going with this, and I'm going to stop it right here. That's why his mind works that way. That's why he goes about doing things the way he does. Mitchell Trubisky thought he was just simply echoing the sentiments of his head coach. We aren't going to listen to that outside noise, so much so that I'm going and asking him to turn the TV off. And that was taken as, I can't take the criticism. I don't want to hear this. It's the reality of the world. You're making a big boy check. You got to deal with it. But this is why we get coach speak. You know, Blair doesn't like me saying this, right? Particularly anyone who's got to get quotes for a story. Listen, I talk about theory. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm going to give you what it is I think is going on in a long format. I don't need a quick hitter, and I don't need a quote. I don't need a soundbite for television, and I sure as hell don't need just a line for the printed word. It's the different mediums. They're all great in their own way. We all have our strengths, and we all have our weaknesses, whatever they are. All right? But I don't necessarily, and maybe I'm unique in this business, in the radio business, I don't just need some gotcha cut. That's a gotcha cut, and they blew up on him on TV, and you knew it was coming, somewhat unfairly. And I think Adam Schefter really did a good job. He kind of took both sides and said, listen, you're both right for this reason, and went through some of the things that I said. He did a great job, I thought, of breaking that down. But I will tell you that this is why you get coach speak. It's why you get coach speak. By the way, Dominique Foxworth, former Bronco DB, the other analyst, the other former player analyst on set. It was a great segment. Look forward if you can, because it was an interesting, I think an interesting reaction too. It wasn't exactly fair, but life ain't fair. And if you're going to take the $1 million and play the ultimate position, you're not going to get treated fairly. You're going to get treated like a quarterback, and like a quarterback of a big market team, the Chicago Bears. And this is what comes with it. This is the reality of the job. We'll take a break. We're live at the Sprint store here in Town Center. You can come by and say hello for a few more minutes. It's still a few more minutes to get signed up for free for the 30th annual Thanksgiving Day 5K run and family stroll, plus a few more minutes to get signed up for those Chiefs-Raiders tickets, lower level, and a parking pass, and tickets to the Hall of Fame Classic on November 25th and 6th. They've got both days that they're going to be giving tickets away. You got to get signed up, though, and you got to do it by 6 o'clock. It's at the Sprint store here at Town Center.
The Program with Seren Petro, weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping things up, I want to thank everybody here at the Sprint store. Don't forget about that. If you didn't get signed up, you can still run in the big Turkey Day run. A couple things to give you that you need to know before we go. Patrick Mahomes, a full participant in practice today. Second straight day for Patrick Mahomes. Duvernay-Tardif with the ankle, Kendall Fuller with the thumb, and Frank Clark with the neck, as well as Eric Fisher with the sports hernia, were all listed as limited. That's generally not a good sign that they will play. Since Andy Reid's been here, Alex Okafor with an ankle did not practice at all. And a week before Antonio Brown scheduled to meet with NFL investigators, he went on a profanity-filled tweet fest today, saying the NFL needs to clear his name, and reiterated that he'll never play again in the league. Like, if no one's hiring you, are you really quitting? If no one wants to sign you, are you really not playing? I don't know.
WHB.